Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Bergeron leans in against Barkov. They scramble to face up. The puck floats over to the near side with two. Fired into the Bruins end. Rast on to stop it. And the unbeaten streak is now at 18 straight games. Patrice Bergeron. Insane. What a goal. He fired in the far circle. The Bruins rally with a pair. Vanquished the Panthers 4-3. They have now won 9 straight on TD Garden Ice.
Welcome into another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. Couple hours Bruins talk for you, 617-779-0985 for you to join us. From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers. These guys will be on the call tonight as the Bruins take on the Ottawa Senators and look for number 19 in a row if they can keep this thing going. Morning, guys.
Morning.
All right. We're about a month and a half since the last regulation loss for this team now?
January 19th.
We sat here last week, and if you looked at the schedule upcoming, and tonight would be included, but you had New Jersey, Carolina, Florida, Ottawa, 4 straight games, and you think, okay, might be some potential letdown games in here. In fact, I think you said that about last Saturday night against New Jersey. And
1-0.
Turned into a 1-0 barn burner, right? but yet, you know, even when they have fallen behind in these games this week, fell behind to Carolina in the first period, you know, they're behind in the third period in Florida. We see it again and again and again with this team that there is zero panic. There is zero give up. These guys have just gotten into a mode where they just find a way. Even when their game isn't necessarily there that night, they work at it, they find it, and they find it in just the right time, as they did against Florida the other night.
No, it's been good. I mean, they found all kinds of different ways to win throughout this whole streak. I mean, it's never been perfect. That's fine. You know, the games aren't going to be perfect. You find ways around it. They've won high scoring games. They've won low scoring games. They've come from behind to win. They've led in games. I mean, it's been all different. You know, the last two, you know, just happened to be where they fell behind in them. So, I mean, it's been impressive. There's no other way to put it. And it's a team that, you know, deserves a lot of credit right now for what they've been able to do. They've done a lot of it now without their leading goal scorer in David Pastrnak recently. You know, their work ethic night in and night out is excellent. They're hard to play against most nights. If the team defense kind of lets them down on one night, then the goal scoring picks them up, and vice versa. It's been fun to watch. The only thing I look at, and you know, for people that want to see the schedule changed, you look at the top 5 teams in the NHL. 2 of them are out west, and the other 3 are in the Atlantic Division. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean in the playoffs? Well, you're going to play a really good team in the first round, and it's going to be most likely Toronto. And like, you've got one of the in the first 2 rounds, you have potentially 3 or 2 of the top 5 teams in the league that are going home.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're going to the playoff system. So
no, but I mean seriously, it's Tampa's 1, Boston's 2, Calgary, San Jose. I'm not sure what order, but Calgary, San Jose, and then Toronto, and Toronto's tied with maybe Washington. But that's the top 5 teams in the league. So based on the playoff, and the GMs or the league has said no, they're happy with the playoff format, and I don't know if I'm happy with it or not. I'm not sure. I'm not going either way with it. I'm just pointing out a fact that
sure,
you're going to have 2 of the top 5 teams in the league in the regular season going home after the second round.
I don't think it's right. Listen, if you want, the league wants you to value the 82-game regular season. Well, if that's the case, then I think you have to play more division games during the regular season.
We're right done now, with Montreal enough. And Toronto in the middle of January.
Why are the Bruins playing four games against those teams and three games against the Metro, but you got to play out of the Atlantic in order to reach the other division? I don't think that's right. You want rivalries, you want more of those intense games, that's fine. Play more division games. I don't think anybody in this town would be sorry if, oh, well, we're going to see the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens a little bit more. Listen, the Sabres are on the come. They're going to be a better team. Those are going to be more intense games. Fine. Make it six games against that team. Do you have to play the other division three times? How about just one and one? Then add it on. Then I could say that this playoff format makes sense. But based on the way they have the schedule right now, I don't think it does. I think you have to go back to the old conference format, or you go to the NBA format, 1 through 8, or go to the division leaders, and then everybody else is playing 3 through 6. If that's the case, then I think you reward teams for the way they play during the regular season. That would pit the Bruins against Carolina. That, I think, is a more equitable first-round matchup than the Bruins against the Maple Leafs.
Well, and that's the problem is theoretically, you could have a team where it is more advantageous to play, to be a wild card team than to finish in the top three of your division, because you would want to cross over into the other division.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
It's look, I mean, obviously you're not going to, I don't think we're seeing a problem with tanking.
You go over there and you play the Capitals. They're the defending Stanley Cup champs. I mean,
right.
Like,
but I'm saying it's counterintuitive for that to be potentially a better matchup for you to finish further down in the standings than if you finish in the top two or three.
I guess the whole point is, and the reason I bring it up is, as well as the Bruins have played, okay, and everybody loves the streak that they're on, and you like this is a likable team, you know, for all the right reasons. They are where they are right now, in second place in the Atlantic and second place overall in the league. Toronto has just as many regulation wins as you do, 41 wins, mm-hmm. Okay. Toronto has the same feeling. Tampa has the same feeling. And you're going to have to go through both of them, most likely, in order to get to the conference finals. There's so much room for optimism. And like I said, everybody loves this team and what they're doing. You got to go through a really good team in the first round. This is going to be, and you went 7 games with them last year. And on paper, they've improved. You know, you've improved. I mean, I think the Bruins would say that they like what they put in their lineup. But this is, I mean, it's not going to be easy. And I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great series, but it's going to be tough. It's not going to be people are all saying, oh, you know, wait till we get to Tampa. Well, you got to go through Toronto first,
right? That is, you do hear that a lot, because it's all about,
people are overlooking,
we got to match up with Tampa, got to match up with Tampa. It's like, well, you realize there's a series before that. Yeah, and it's not going to be an easy one. All right, so, you know, as we talked a little bit about this last week, and you mentioned it again, Bob, the identity of this team is, you know, it's a team that obviously you've got, when they're healthy, one of the best top lines in hockey, you know, can impact you at both ends of the ice. They're outstanding. The power play of this team has been great all year long. But it's more about, you know, that identity that a lot of people around here have been, you know, hoping for out of this Bruins team for years, which is tough to play against, right? Not necessarily in the drop the gloves, beat you up every night kind of way, but just heavy on the puck. They can hit, you know, they're not big bruising guys necessarily, but you're going to come out of that game knowing that you were in a battle against this team night in and night out. And I think that's what's exciting about this team, because that's the kind of thing that does carry over into the playoffs. That's the kind of game that you have to bring to be successful in the
postseason. Absolutely. They're built the way that they play. They are built more, I think, personally, for the playoffs and being able to grind teams down. And I think that's where Toronto fans and Toronto, you know, people that watch that team day in and day out are a little concerned that, you know, Toronto doesn't have that ability to really get in the trenches and dig with you. And the Bruins have that. There's no question about it. And I think that they, you know, as much as they tried to downplay it a little bit, that's the type of game that they wanted to bring against Tampa. you know, they were going to be hard to play against all night against Tampa. They wanted them to know that, hey, we're here, we're good. Just because you have a lot of points doesn't mean you're going to walk away with it. Now, the game in the regular season doesn't mean anything, but I think that there's a blueprint there with the way you have to play against them in order to beat them. And the same goes for Toronto. A skilled team. And I think Tampa can do some of that. I think Tampa can do more of that than Toronto can. You know, in terms of getting in the trenches, they've got a little bit more made up for that. But for Toronto, we're assuming that's who they're going to play. It would take a lot for that not to happen. It's just a matter of who has home ice. Right now, the Bruins are in the driver's seat for that. But that's the type of game you have to bring against the Leafs, and you got to make it so hard for them.
Thinking about that series last year against Tampa, it almost makes me think about March of last year. So the Bruins experienced some injuries. That schedule was absolutely brutal. I think it took a lot out of the Bruins. They finally get to the playoffs. They lose on the last day.
It's not a lot different this year.
Right. Yes. You know, and that's what it feels like. It feels like March is just, it chews up teams. It's a cruel month in the National Hockey League, especially the way the schedule is now, where you're essentially playing every other night.
But they're I will, Judd, though, you know, when you look at the games played, they're right in line with Tampa and Toronto.
And they are.
It's the same schedule for, you know, maybe road and home are a little bit different, but it's the same schedule in terms of games played.
Every team is going through the same thing, absolutely. But you see the injuries that are starting to rack up for the Bruins, and you're hoping that everybody is not only healthy, but playing in a way that's as close to the top of their game as possible when they come back, when that's posture. And who knows when that is. Pastrnak, Johansson, Miller. Now, DeBrusque is out of the lineup. We'll see who comes up after Carson Kuhlman got sent back. There's certainly a possibility he could come back. The Bruins could opt for somebody else. We have no idea at this point. But hopefully those guys are ready to go once the playoffs hit. The other thing, thinking back to last season, you had Patrice Bergeron, who essentially sat out a month. You had Charlie McAvoy. He had injured his knee. Mm-hmm. Zdeno Chara went down in a game in Carolina last year. I think that actually took place in late February. Injuries are going to happen. You're going to play this schedule. And as Bob pointed out, and it's a valid point, everybody is going through this, but you want everybody to be as healthy as possible, because I think when the Bruins ultimately did reach Tampa Bay, they were nicked up and they weren't at a full complement. Tampa wasn't missing anybody at that point.
Bruins did just announce a few minutes ago, Lee Stempniak recalled on an emergency basis from Providence this morning.
Yeah, they got to give him a look.
Yep.
And they want to see what he can bring. And you know, I think if everybody's healthy, he's probably not in a lineup. Sure. unless you know, he lights it up. But you know, obviously the injury to Johansson kind of changes things a little bit. They wanted to get some different looks and see where he best fit. Now they're going to be, you know, when he does get back. Hopefully he does get back. When he does get back, then, you know, they're going to be kind of mixing and matching, still trying to find out on the fly what he can do. They were hoping to have some more time to do that.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that, because Bruce Cassidy kind of indicated the same thing in talking about Pastrnak the other day, that, you know, depending on the timing of when he gets back, where he might fall in the lineup. So we'll get to that coming up. And your calls, of course, 617-779-0985. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Press the right hand. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
To join us here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Bruins and Ottawa tonight over at the Garden. Maria in Watertown is up first this week. Hey, Maria.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good.
I'd like to just quickly chime in on the playoff format discussion that you just had. And, you know, here's where I think the NHL misses the boat on marketing and growing their sport. Because to me, the Stanley Cup Finals are the best playoffs in all of professional sports. Isn't it incumbent upon you to try and ensure that those teams that have worked to be the best teams in the league all season long get into a playoff and then maybe meet each other in like a quarterfinal round or the fourth round. I just don't understand why it makes any sense to have, you know, the two second and third best teams in the league go up against each other in the first round and then potentially water down your playoff format. So, Judd, I totally agree with you. And with regard to what is very special that I know from my eyes right now with this team is that tandem of Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, gentlemen. They are, without a doubt, the best duo in the NHL, and they are phenomenal to watch. Words just can't describe what those two are able to do on the ice, and no disrespect intended, but I think any one of you gentlemen could suit up and get out there on the wing with those guys and look good. So those are my takes, and have a lovely day.
I appreciate the call, Maria. You know, look at the
that would be putting a pretty big burden on, on Bergeron.
Oh, I'm sure Marchie would look at me and go, not a chance of passing you the puck.
It really is, though. I mean, you look at, you know, the tandem that they have kept together for the most part. I mean, it's been years now where, you know, every once in a while, you know, they'll split the two of them up. But even as things have changed around the roster up and down, that's pretty much the solid, and whether it's Claude before or Bruce Cassidy now, it's like you just know, like, you can depend on those two guys every single night.
Yeah, they're not getting split up. And, you know, I think when they talk about pairs, you know, it's Krejci and DeBrusque. As long as DeBrusque is going, there's a couple games this year where they've moved him around a little bit, but so you keep those pairs together, and it's just a matter of who plays the right side or the other side with those pairs. And you know, even the other night, you know, Heinen, the puck was finding him. He had it on his stick a ton, but not much was happening. And so they made a change. They went away from it. I think they went back to it, if I'm not mistaken. But they did go away from it for a little while and made some changes in who was playing up there. And so, you know, Bruce Cassidy tinkered with it. He's going to tinker all you know, for the rest of the season. And, you know, Does Coyle get a look up on a wing? There was a line with Krejci, Coyle, and DeBrusque. Maybe no, DeBrusque was in the lineup the other night. So I forget, it was on the left side, and it was like they had the puck in the offensive end, and they were creating chances. Then they made another change. So he shortened the bench a little bit the other night, and made some changes to his lineup and who was playing where. But that's going to be, it's ongoing. It's been ongoing all year, and it's going to continue to be ongoing as they head towards the playoffs until they can. And even still, you know, where does Pastrnak play when he comes back, right? Does he play with Bergeron? Does he play with Krejci? And that's going to depend on how other guys are going as well.
I think it goes a little bit under the radar, the type of goal production you're getting for Patrice Bergeron this year. I'm just looking at the numbers right now. So he has 23 goals in 51 games this year. He is scoring goals at a higher rate than he ever has during his career. Now, we still got a couple of weeks left in the season. His second highest last year for Patrice Bergeron. So you're seeing the goal production take a rise. And then obviously, is there any player in the National Hockey League that is bigger at the biggest moments than that guy? I can't name anybody else around the league.
Well, I mean, just, you know, the way that game plays out the other night is, you know, is a prime example. It's you get the late goal, tie the game, and it's like, okay, headed to overtime. Everybody in the building is expecting, okay, we're going to overtime. But you get one last shift out of those guys, and they come up with a goal again.
Well, let's back up.
Florida came to their true color. Three guys chasing Marchand over on the half wall.
Right.
Three guys went at him. You know, and then Luongo, I don't know. I mean, it's a great shot. I don't want to take anything away. And he's scoring goals against a lot of people right now, but that's the save that's got to be made.
They went from a D-zone draw with, what, 20 seconds left.
The draw was in Boston's end.
To 15, 16 seconds later to having the game winner scored. How do you do that? And then
somebody sent me I'm sure they sent you the same thing, that the numbers for Luongo since game three of the Stanley Cup finals. in TD Garden.
Yeah, not his favorite place.
Yeah, I got him. But then go back. So the game tire with a minute left. Who had Matt Grizzlick in the pool getting the game tire?
Sure. Well,
his
not,
second goal of the season. Who had that?
Not Bruce Cassidy.
No, I love that line.
he said after the game, he just wasn't even sure he could elevate the puck.
That was a rocket.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's again, but that's part of what we're talking about with finding different ways to, you know, like regardless of what's happened the rest of the game, finding a way to win that game at the end. And you get a goal from Matt Grizzlick, who nobody's expecting to score there. And
right, but it wouldn't surprise you if Torrey Krug had been that guy at the blue line who unleashed that puck, or Charlie McAvoy.
Yeah, they had Grizzlick. The power play, and that group had been out there for a while, and they were in the process of changing that all up. And it came with a second to go in the power play, which came after a great shift from Krejci, and he drew the penalty.
Yep,
his line, and you know. But that was I said it at the time, like how much patience there was. Everybody was shoot, you know, but move it around, find the lane towards the net. You know, you had a couple opportunities to shoot, you know, at the top of each circle, and they took those away. Couldn't get those pucks to the net, so he eventually came back to Grizzlick for the one-timer. And great traffic in front.
David Backus was the guy out in front. He did a terrific job of creating that screen.
Mark, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
How many times can you say I got the game tying goal in a big game and I don't even get credited with a shot on net? It hit the crossbar and then came back out and hit the goalie in the back of the leg and then went in the net. So the technically, does that even count as a shot on net? Just curious.
That's good. Have to check the rule book on that one. Right. What do you got?
But you know what? It really looks like this team is having a ball out there. On that Grizzlick goal, when he's sitting on the bench, this slapping him in the head. They're chest bumping. They're hip checking each other on the bench. They're laughing. They're smiling. It's a great thing to see right now. But tonight, guys, the worst team in the NHL comes into the Boston Garden.
Is this a trap game?
I don't know. I want to look at it and say, you know what? Go out there and play like you're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. Don't come out flat because, it's Ottawa. We don't have to, you know, give 100%. No, give 1,000% and blow this team out of the building like you should.
It's a tough spot to be in because you're at Pittsburgh tomorrow night, right? The game that feels like it has a little more juice than this one, certainly. But yet, you know, this team, as we said, like you can't generally question their effort. I mean, the effort has been there night in and night out, no matter who you're playing. But when you're playing a team like this, it's a bring your own energy kind of night. you need to make sure that you're ready to go and don't expect them to provide you with much to go off of.
They're kind of like New Jersey in the sense that, you know, you got a lot of guys. Well, in Ottawa's case, it's not injuries. It's guys that were traded.
Yeah.
Right? Guys that were moved off their lineup. But in New Jersey's case, when they were here in town, it was the injuries. Ottawa has some really good young players. Thomas Chabot is one of the best young defensemen in the league. He was one of the leading defensemen scoring in the league. I don't know if Brent Burns is now, but at one time he was leading the entire league in scoring from defense. You got a couple young forwards in Tkachuk and Colin White. You've got guys that are playing to be in the NHL next year, which is similar to what the Devils had, trying to be in the NHL next year. And that was a 1-0 game. Ottawa took the Islanders to a shootout. They had a home and home. They took them to a shootout in one game. Islanders are top of the Metro in a shootout in one game, and it was a 4-2 kind of late game, late goals by the Islanders that beat them the other day. It's any team you play, it's just if you don't bring it, you don't really have it, you know, it's going to be a close game. And the Bruins, who could blame them for not being up for today? I certainly can't based on what they've done, but at the same time, if you want home ice in the playoffs, you're 4 points up on Toronto right now. These are games that you want to win. You need to win. You know, you can throw in a loss here and there, you know, as long as the work ethic is where it needs to be and as long as you play the game the right way. But, I mean, letdowns, this would be a prime time, right? After going 18 games.
I think it's a character game in many ways. The effort and the win against the Devils in many ways was a character game. That was not an easy game to play, to slog through and find a way against the team. As Bob mentioned, you got a lot of guys that are playing for contracts, you're playing for opportunities in the National Hockey League. You're going to have a very similar situation here. This is a character game again tonight.
But I don't, you know, what separates the Bruins a little bit in that capacity, though, Judd, is, you know, Chara doesn't take a night off. He might not have it every night, but you know, he's there and he's going to try to make sure everybody else, Bergeron, same way, you know, they're bringing it every night. It doesn't matter who's on the other side. And those are the leaders on the Bruins, and among others, that those guys are going to be there and they're going to be ready to play no matter what.
Ottawa, by the way, 9-23-2 on the road.
I think the other thing that somewhat, you know, got overlooked, Bruce Cassidy had mentioned this, just how happy Matt Grizzlick's teammates were that he scored the game-tying goal. And he mentioned, I've been a part of a lot of teams, or I've known a lot of different players.
Well, it's not the case. No, they're stealing goals from one another.
Necessarily happy.
Yeah. You know, the guy in front of the net saying, "Oh yeah, it took me in the arm." You know,
guys are sour. And, you know, I've seen this before where guys are sour because I wanted to be the guy, but he was the guy, and I didn't get that opportunity. But that is not the case with the Bruins team. But there's a lot of truth to what he said. Absolutely.
All right, let's get Sports Hub headlines. Joe Haggerty will join us coming up as we continue here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Now we welcome in Joe Haggerty, who covers the Bruins for NBC Sports Boston and joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Hags.
Good morning.
All right, so, you know, I opened the show and you kind of wrote something similar about, you know, this 18-game winning streak, and not only, you know, or 18-game point streak, I should say, not only 18 games with points, but some of the ways that they're winning games, the fact that they're winning games, you know, minus Pasternak, and then they lose to Brusk the other night, and Johansson's gone down, and, you know, we've seen over the course of this season this team battle through injuries to Bergeron and Chara at the same time, and McAvoy out for extended periods of time, and Carlo, and, I mean, it's, there aren't too many guys who haven't been out, it feels like, for extended periods of time as far as key guys, and yet things just keep rolling right along. It feels like this is a team that is almost like a team of destiny, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think Tuukka Rask said it best the other night when he said it's in our DNA just now that we just don't give up. And I think that's been really a hallmark of this team this year. And, you know, look, on paper, they're not going to be the most talented team in the playoffs. And obviously, they're not going to win the President's Trophy. The Tampa Bay Lightning are going to do that. You know, everybody's going to look at them, I think, as an underdog in that series of those two teams end up facing each other in the second round. But I do think there is something that you've seen with this team that is greater than the sum of its parts, and that is kind of like an X factor that you can't quite quantify, that allows them to succeed through adversity and allows them to do special things. You have that feeling watching the Bruins that they're in the midst of something special. Now, I think you could have said that last year as well, given the way they won some of the games that they won. I remember that game in Carolina where they just went nuts in the third period and won the game, and you kind of got that feeling down the stretch with that team as well. So we'll see if they're able to, you know, carry that over into the playoffs and use that to pull off an upset and go on a long run, a longer run than they did last year. But you do get that sense that things are coming together for the Bruins, that they're capable of something special. And I think it was just, you know, really amplified by that comeback the other night, two goals in the last 40 seconds to win a game that, you know, they really didn't play great in the first half. And, you know, they pulled it out with the 2 points, and they've continued to do that for a long time, and scoring goals and gathering points and winning games without Pasternak. And now they're missing a ton of offense without Pasternak, Johansson, and probably DeBrusk. And, you know, they continue to roll on. So it's extremely impressive, and I think it's been a treat for Bruins fans because this team is very fun to watch.
You mentioned the team being more than a sum of its parts. Where do you think that comes from? You know, is it the leadership in the locker room? Is it Bruce Cassidy? You know, what is it that has made this team really over the past couple of years exactly what you're talking about? Just seem like they're overplaying the level of talent that they have up and down the roster.
Well, it's definitely part coaching for sure. Bruce Cassidy and his staff tweaking things, moving things around when injuries, which have been, you know, a huge part of the last two seasons, hit them. They find a way to get through it and get through it with players that are, you know, for the most part, depth players and AHL guys that they're bringing up when it gets really bad. I mean, they went a few months in the first half of the year, at least a month, with, you know, some players that you were kind of wondering how they were continuing to win games, but they played more conservatively. It was low scoring, one goal games, and they were grinding it out. And, you know, now that the offense is coming more and the goals are coming more and they're doing it in a different way. But you're seeing adjustments being made according to who he has in the lineup, Bruce Cassidy has in the lineup, who they're playing, you know, what they're going through at that particular moment in the season. And, you know, that's a huge part of it. I think the leadership is most definitely a part of it with Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara. And, you know, a lot of the talk after the game the other night was how instrumental Bergeron was on the bench in addition to scoring the two goals in the third period. You know, about kind of not letting the team sort of, you know, chuck this one away and say, hey, we've gotten points in 17 straight and, we're in a good spot right now. This isn't going to be our night. And, you know, we're just going to throw it away and move on. Like, you know, he was not going to let that happen. And a lot of the guys in that team were not going to let that happen. And I think it's a credit to him, you know, leading the way and Char leading the way. And I think a lot of it, too, is, you know, obviously they're a very good team, extremely talented, but I think there's also an element of it's a very good dressing room where guys get along. And, you know, you even see it with Torey Krug and Brad Marchand going at each other on Instagram and Twitter and the social media stuff and them, you know, chirping each other in a good-natured way. And I think there's a really healthy, fun atmosphere around the team. There were times, you know, a few years ago when they weren't making the playoffs where it was really, really quiet in that dressing room. And it was kind of tight, and it wasn't, you know, like it used to be when they were making the playoffs every year. And I think they're getting back to that. And I think that looseness and that chemistry within the dressing room is allowing them to be better than maybe they would be otherwise. But, you know, I don't want to discount the talent, too. You're talking about some world-class players that are on this team, and they are where they probably should be, one of the top teams in the East. I just, you know. Well, it remains to be seen how they're going to stack up against the Lightning if they play them in the playoffs. I always almost have to put that caveat at the end of everything I say about the Bruins because it's kind of looming there in the foreground.
How are they going to match up against Toronto if everybody's healthy? Are they going to be the favorites?
I think they are.
I think a lot of people are falling into the trap of how they're going to match up against Tampa.
Yeah,
they got to go through against a team that has just as many wins in the regular season as they do.
Absolutely, and is I think a lot better than they were last year when they took the Bruins to seven games, and you needed that third period in Game 7 at home in order to win that series. I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a large portion of the people that cover the team, of the people that are fans of the team, that are completely bypassing Toronto in the first round, thinking the Bruins are going to be a heavy favorite and win that series. You add Tavares and Muzzin to that team that they had last year, that took the Bruins to Game 7, you definitely can't discount it.
Well, you took away Van Riemsdyk and Bozak, though. I mean, you know, so there were some, I mean, Van Riemsdyk was a pretty good presence in front of the net against the Bruins. I thought he had a couple of no-show games during that series, but he's generally a pretty good presence in front of the net. They really don't have that right now, so they had a good player offensively, a great player offensively in Tavares, but do they have like a net front guy that's going to be able to battle with some of the big bodies that the Bruins have in front of the net? So there's a blueprint there to beat them, Joe. I'm just saying I think people are just completely overlooking Toronto here in this first round.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're definitely right. And I think also with Toronto, as you said, I mean, you're going to be able to attack them, I think, in the same way as you did last year defensively. Jake Gardner is still a hot mess against the Bruins pretty much every time he plays them. So
he might not even be there.
You're right. There are things you're going to be able to go after, I think, in that series, no doubt about it. But, like, I am kind of the same voice you are when people just say, you know, just they're heavy favorites against Toronto. They own Toronto, especially their own building. You know, that's going to be a series they're going to win. I think people just get excited about the idea of a rematch against Tampa and potentially what could shake out to be the two best teams in the NHL, thanks to the playoff format, as far as points go, meeting in the second round of the playoffs. And kind of that's certainly a big thing on everybody's mind.
Injury bug hit again this week. Johansson goes down on Tuesday night after that hit by Michael Ferland. Lung contusion was the report there. And then Jake DeBrusk, misses the game on Thursday night against Florida. with a foot injury. Anything to be concerned about over the long term for those guys, as far as, you know, the playoffs are starting to loom on the horizon here?
I don't think there's anything long term to be concerned about. Obviously, the Bruins are in a good place. I think they should take their time with all these players and make sure they come back, you know, fully healthy and ready to go. It's more about being healthy and ready for the playoffs. Obviously, they want home ice. That's important to them. I think it's important, obviously, in that first-round series against Toronto, given how well they've played the Leafs at the Garden and how important I think it is to have a Game 7 at the Garden, given the trouble that the Leafs have had, the ghosts that haunt the Leafs in Game 7s in Boston the last 5 or 6 years in playoff series. So, you know, I think that's really the name of the game. But lung contusion, I think it sounds pretty bad, obviously. I imagine he's going to miss, you know, a couple of weeks with that, more than 1 week. The Bruins have called up Lee Stempniak on emergency recall today. I'd imagine that's a bad sign for DeBrusk and his ability to play tonight. I don't even know that you want to have DeBrusk come back now when they're playing back-to-backs this weekend anyway, you know, given that he's in a walking boot. So I don't think any of them are going to spill over into the playoffs, but I think at this point in the year, you've got to definitely walk that line between getting guys healthy and finishing as well as you can in the regular season.
Yeah, still got home ice advantage to seal up. So, you know, it's you want to rest these guys, but at the same time, you got to win games.
Yeah, and especially against Toronto, like I said, I think that's an important home ice advantage that you truly have, where, you know, if it gets to a Game 7 against them, like you think it probably will, you want that in your own building, given the bad things that have happened to a lot of the players on that team in Game 7s in Boston, and that will start creeping in their head if things start going against them at the Garden in a setting like that again. So in that series, as much as any other that you might play along the way, I think home ice is paramount.
Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston. Appreciate the time as always.
All right. Thanks, guys.
He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We can get to more of your calls coming up, 617-779-0985. As the Bruins continue streaking, hopefully tonight at the Garden, it's Johnston, Surratt, and Beers with you until 11 o'clock here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show. 617-779-0985. We can take your calls. As we were talking about with Joe Haggerty, some injuries this week. The lung contusion to Marcus Johansson obviously hasn't been around here that long, but we've talked about him a little bit since the trade was made and what he brings to the team and the versatility, especially, and all of that. Lose him for a little bit. Jake DeBrusk goes out the other night with a foot injury as well. We talked a little bit about the mixing and matching that Bruce Cassidy loves to do with these lines and how he's going to piece this together and, you know, tinkering with things, you know, probably for the rest of the regular season, and then who knows, maybe even in the playoffs he'll continue to do that because it's just what he does, and it has worked really well for him. Taking a guy like Johansson out of the lineup after he's only been here a short time, what is the impact of that as you look forward here over the next few weeks and trying to get him ready for the playoffs and figure out where his best slot is on this team?
Well, I think it has a big impact. I mean, you don't know where he's best suited. He's only played pretty much with Krejci on the right side. Now, is that the best fit for him? Certainly there were some moments where it looked like it was a good fit. You know, does he fit better somewhere else? And now you're going to have to, you know, figure that out on the fly when he does get back. Hopefully he does get back. And, you know, I look the same with Coyle. You know, I think the situation will dictate where he plays. In other words, you know, he's played primarily third line center. And when they were behind the other day in that game against the Panthers, he played a shift or two up with David Krejci, and it looked good up on the right wing. So, you know, I think the game itself will kind of dictate where some of these guys play And just trying to find the best fit for them is still something that's a work in progress for Bruce Cassidy and his staff to find out, you know, where guys best fit. You know, I wanted to see Johansson play a little top power play because I think DeBrusk's done a pretty good job down there, but I wanted to see what Johansson would look like down there as a guy that can kind of pop off, get the puck, and he's a good playmaker. So maybe, you know, another weapon to find guys as a good net front presence and not just standing in front of the net, but, you know, moving off to the goal line, getting a pass, and then finding maybe Bergeron in the bump or a backdoor to Krejci or, you know, Pastrnak at some point. So, you know, he's a guy that played top power play minutes when he was with the Washington Capitals. So there's still a lot of different options available. We're just not going to be able to see them just yet. So, you know, and then when Coyle's case, down a goal, play a little bit with Krejci, maybe even put him up with Bergeron for a shift or two, just see what it looks like. He's really good at protecting pucks down low and creating space. And then, you know, if you're up a goal, you know, he may stay on that third line center role. So there's a lot of different things in game that can happen, not just from game to game, but within the game.
Coyle's done a pretty good job since he's been here as far as making that third line, for lack of a better term, which has been a, you know, kind of a hole in this lineup.
It gives
more
balance
impactful.
For Cassidy.
It's more impactful.
But it gives them balance where they're not going to come out and say it, but he didn't trust that line in certain situations, you know, whether it was defensive zone faceoffs or whether it was at different parts of the game. The fourth line was getting a lot more minutes than the third line, so it wasn't even a fourth line, right?
Yep.
So that he trusted that line. He trusts them every night. He starts them every night. But the with Coyle there now, if you Coyle, Backes, and Nordstrom, he trusts that line. So it gives him a lot more, you know, peace of mind to be able to put them out there in different situations and not have to worry.
We've seen them out for D-zone draws. And for Charlie, based on the looks that he's creating, he's due. He's due for one.
All right, let's get to Sports Hub headlines here. We've got lots more to cover in the next hour. 617-779-0985 for your calls. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Bruins with an 18-game point streak on the line tonight. Ottawa decidedly not. We've got lots more to cover here in the final hour of the show this week, including as we're talking about the the impact that losing Johansson has on their lineup, and Jake DeBrusk being out the other night gave you a different look. But in addition to that, this week, Bruce Cassidy is getting questions about, well, when David Pastrnak is healthy and he comes back into the lineup, what does that look like? Where does he fit in? Do you put him back with Bergeron and Marchand? Do you put him with Krejci and DeBrusk? How does the lineup stack up? And the answer from Cassidy in essence was, well, that depends on when he comes back, like how much time we've got and how he looks, how he's feeling. Like, you know, do we put him back in a comfortable spot where he's been much of the year with Bergeron's line, or do we experiment with it a little bit? Do we have enough time to experiment with it before the playoffs and get a good look at him playing alongside Krejci and DeBrusk?
Yeah, well, I think when the playoffs start, you had him playing alongside Bergeron and Marchand against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he did whatever he wanted in that series. He was unbelievable. And, you know, that whole line was, and they dominated the Leafs in that series. When it came against Tampa, they had trouble after game one doing what they needed to do. They were shut down by points line, and they were a little reluctant to make that change. And I thought they might. You know, I thought they might as the series went on, but they stuck with it. So I also think I would add to that who you're playing against, the situation of the game. And, you know, just there's a lot of factors, I think, that come into play, not just a couple things. Okay, you know, where does he fit best for this team? There's a lot of factors that play into it.
And if memory serves, I think Bruce Cassidy talked about the fact that it's about a continuity thing. And since you mentioned the timing, if they make all those changes just before the playoffs, now you have all sorts of different combinations. If you put Pasternak back with Bergeron and Marchand, and you put Johansson, assuming that he's back, and you put him with David Krejci and Jake DeBrusk, assuming he's healthy, then you have some combinations that are familiar.
I go back to a situation in a game, right? Maybe he starts with Bergeron. Things aren't going well for another line, so they drop him down with Krejci. Maybe you're down a goal, you put Coyle up on a different line, or maybe Johansson goes up on a different line. There's a lot of different things at play, you know, or where does Heinen fit in? Where, you know, how's he playing? Is he bringing it that particular night, you know? There's a lot of things that would play into it, and I think Bruce Cassidy has shown this year that, you know, him and his staff have made changes on the fly in game a lot this season.
Sure.
And it continues, and it will continue.
Does home road play into it too? You know, who gets the last line change and what kind of matchups you're looking at?
I think that's all part of it. If you watch the way that Cassidy has coached over the last couple of years, sometimes it's about the matchup that you're up against. Sometimes it's to get somebody away from somebody else. Sometimes, as Bob alluded to, maybe somebody's hot and you want to get them out there multiple times to create a different look.
Depends on where the faceoff is, if it's offensive zone, defensive zone, you know, offensive zone down a goal. You got an offensive line out there. He'll go with McAvoy and Krug on the back end. You know, there's a lot of changes being made just based on where the faceoff is. And so it's not just home and road. And speaking of which, by the way, they've got, after tonight, 10 on the road, 4 at home. Mm-hmm. We got a road heavy schedule. Seven of the next 8 that are on the road. So they're in a great spot. They're going to make it, but they still have some work to do here. And it won't be, you know, with home cooking.
In a vacuum, what's your best look, do you think? I kind of look at it and say, look, what we've seen in the last few weeks with Pasternak out, Bergeron and Marchand, their production has been steady. Heinen, you know, has his game has come alive. Although, you know, the
production varies
a little bit, but it's
there. So for the last 14 games, it's been there. He had an off night the other night for a couple of periods, and then he had a nice assist on Krejci's goal. It was a great finish by Krejci, but if Heinen stays there, then you put Pasternak with Krejci, and then you put, you know, you got Johansson maybe on the left wing playing with Coyle.
With Coyle.
And then if you're down a goal, things change.
Sure.
Or they can change, potentially. So there's just so many options right now for them.
I just look at that.
Which is a good thing, but you don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, I just look at that as the best option, because I feel like the opportunity to get the most out of especially those top two lines, not just have one line going and, you know, and hope for some scoring depth down the list a little bit. I think it's a lot better if Krejci, Pasternak, and DeBrusk, I feel like that line's going to produce for you. You know Bergeron and Marchand's going to produce for you. So now you've got two lines that are kind of that are guaranteed to going to be involved offensively every night.
Well, and that's all true, Ryan. But I'll say this, and I've been saying it since the beginning of the year, the strength of the team is still how they play team defense.
Mm-hmm.
And how hard they are to play against, and make it hard for teams to get grade A chances, and that's when they're going to be at their best, and that's going to be even more important against the top offensive team in the NHL in Tampa, and one of the top teams in the NHL in Toronto to start. So you're going to have to shut them down. You're going to have to keep them from the front of the net. You're going to have to keep them from the slot area, you know, making sure those chances just are coming from the outside, and how they play team defense. No matter what you do offensively and how they defend against those teams is going to be really important.
Is there anything, is there any significant difference in that defensively, depending on how those lines are put together?
No. I think they have lines, and I mentioned it earlier, that they're not afraid of putting out in a defensive situation.
Yes.
I mean, he's certainly not afraid to put out Achari's line against any team's top line. And they've done that on a regular basis, and they've kept that matchup on home ice. But that frees Bergeron's lineup to maybe do some things offensively. He likes that line defensively against certain teams because they work extremely hard, and they'll be physical against those lines, and that frees Bergeron's lineup against, you know, maybe a lesser line. So there's a lot of matchup. It depends on your opponent, depends on, you know, the situation of the game, depends on home and road. I We haven't mentioned Kevin Miller. I'd like to know what his status is.
Yeah.
You know, I see him around a lot, but as far as I know, he's not skating yet. And that's, and they said he had a setback. That's a little alarming. I want to see him in the lineup. And you know how physical and how much of an impact he can be. So, you know, that's one guy we just hadn't mentioned yet. You mentioned the forwards that are injured.
Sure. But. Let's go to Brian in Fitchburg. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, so Carson Coleman, Kobe Cave, Anton Bleed, down from Providence. I mean, it almost reads like a list of day shifters from the world's worst strip club, not really NHLers. Where is Zach Sinishin? Why have we not seen this kid come up? I mean, I don't think I have to explain the draft that he came out of and who else came after him, but why have we not seen Zach Sinishin come up?
I appreciate the call, Brian. A lot of it has to do with need as far as the position goes.
Oh, no,
Some of it has to do with
there's been a need at right wing at several
occasions. Whether the guy's ready,
yeah.
And, you know, look, I mean, if they felt he was ready, he'd be up here.
I think he falls in the category, I'd say this, I hope he falls in the category of Jake DeBrusk in the sense that leave him alone. Don't make him a yo-yo. Don't have him up and down. Let him play the whole season down there. Now, he has not had the production that was expected. So that's, I'm sure that plays into it. But it's been 2 years now that they've left him alone and had him play down there, not just the 1 year that they had to breast play. So, he's certainly behind in that category, in that regard. But, I you know, not having watched Providence play, I can't give you an answer on that. I know the production's not really there for him as well as much as it should be.
I think earlier in the season, there was a thought, and this is a couple of months ago, that the Bruins were going to give him a look. If he merited it, you know, but recently here, based on some of the call-ups, a lot of the times that the Bruins have reached down, some of it has been need, but a lot of times it's been, who's been your best player? Who's playing the best hockey? And that's part of the reason that Carson Coleman got the call up.
And that's the way it should be, right? It's not just about where you're drafted.
It happens all the time.
Who's going to help you win games?
Well, at the same time, you know, we've all three spent some time in the crab apple. And a lot of times, if you're not calling up that player, it can undermine what you're trying to do in your system.
Yeah, for Jake DeBrusk, it was a hard year for him to be down in Providence. But he played really well. And he did the things. You know, when he's down there and when it's happening, he's not happy about it. He sees all these other guys getting called up, even though he's one of the best players on the ice night in and night out. And I think that's the difference. You know, Zach is finishing one of the best players on the ice night in and night out. I don't think that's the case. At least I don't hear that that's the case. Like I said, I haven't seen them play firsthand. But with DeBrusk, all you heard was this kid, he brings it every night. You know, he's a difference maker every time he's on the ice. And then for him, it's got to be hard because he sees other guys getting called up, but they didn't want him to come up, down, up, down, up, down. Just stay down there, play the whole year. You're going to be a better player for it next season when we do bring you up. There's something to be said for just leaving a guy and having him play the full season down there or most of the season down there. And when he's ready, I'm not going back down. That's the attitude that they come up to the NHL with.
Right.
And from a structural standpoint, it's actually harder and harder to do. So Bob and I were at the Ace Bailey Children's Foundation the other night, and the president of the American Hockey League was there, and we had a chance to chat for a little bit. And I think one of the things that I'd mentioned to Dave Andrews was, boy, I really wish the teams would leave players in the American Hockey League longer. And obviously,
sure
he said,
I wish
that were the case too. But if you look at the way that the salary cap system is and the way it's being used in the National Hockey League, teams have to fill in.
You need cheap talent.
More and more with younger, cheap talent. So because of that, it hurts the growth of a lot of these young players because they're forced into these situations at an earlier time because teams have to put them in the lineup.
Yeah, and I know, Bob, you've advocated for years. It's good for guys to get that experience and you know, to play at that level. And some guys need it for 15, 20 games. Some guys need it for a couple of seasons.
Some guys don't need it at all.
Yeah.
Some guys are mature enough, they don't need it at all. But if you go up and down the Bruins lineup as far as homegrown talent goes and look at how many people have spent time in the American Hockey League, I mean, Bergeron did it. It was a lockout year.
But
Marchand, Krejci, you know, DeBrusk,
Rask,
you know, just going through some of the top guys. I mean, it's just all these guys have spent time in the American Hockey League, significant time. And when they came up, they were, you know, Krejci was up and down a little bit at the beginning of his career. You know, Marchand came up as a fourth liner. They made him earn his time. You know, even on D, you know, you look at the guys who have spent time in the American Hockey League, it's important.
I'm still sour about that lockout year. Providence beat our team in Lowell. Oh,
you had Eric Staal playing for Lowell.
We had Eric Staal and Cam Ward in net, and we had a hell of a team that year. I thought Providence was the only team that could have beaten us that year, at least in the East. 617-779-0985. We'll continue here with the Sports Hub Hockey Show up until 11 o'clock.
Press the right hand, Sam. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Find the Sports Hub. It is the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Judd Surratt has taken his leave of us to go over to Morning Skate. A chance to talk to Bruce Cassidy this morning. And so it's Bob Beers and I for this segment. And then Billy Jaffe will join us in the last segment of the show today to go around the NHL. We can take your calls as well. 617-779-0985. A couple more things that I wanted to touch on this morning. Somebody actually just tweeted me about when you brought up the name of Kevin Miller being out of the lineup, and as it relates to Kevin Miller, because he might be the guy that typically fills the role of the, you know, quote unquote enforcer on this team, or somebody who can drop the gloves to stick up for a teammate. We've seen David Backes fight in three of the last five games. Not that long ago, he had some comments about having a discussion with Bruce Cassidy about, you know, what his role was on this team. And obviously it's been kind of a frustrating time since he got to Boston, between injuries and diverticulitis and, the lack of scoring and all of that that kind of enters into it. You know, they had a sit down, cleared the air on a few things, it seemed like, and in the wake of that, we see him dropping the gloves. Like, it's pretty clear to me that he's looking for a way that he can make an impact on this team on a regular basis. And the scoring just hasn't been happening for him, so he's just trying to find ways that he can do that. I don't know how you feel about this, Bob, but with his history of concussions, it's a scary thing to see a guy like that. You know, I appreciate him stepping up and challenging Ferland the other night, even after what was a clean hit on Johansson. You know, but it feels like I don't necessarily want him to be the guy in doing that, if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying, and I get it. And yeah, I get it. I mean, you know, you're one punch away from, I mean, I guess anybody is, really, but especially if you've had some history.
Yeah.
He wants to make an impact. He wants to contribute in the best way that he can. He's highly respected, you know, in that locker room for what he brings on and off the ice. The points certainly haven't been there for him. We know that. But how do you make sure that you continue to contribute? And for him, you know, it's just carving out space, whether it's in front of the net, whether it's winning battles in the corners, whether it's standing up for teammates, you know, that part of the game. You know, is going to be his biggest input right now, it seems like, anyhow, and that's the kind of the role that he's carved out for himself. There wasn't that long ago that, you know, back-to-back nights he was sitting out on those second half of the back-to-backs. There's only two more of those, by the way. There's one coming up here this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and then there's one more later on this month as well, Saturday, Sunday, back-to-back. So there's not a lot of that situation in here. You know, and whether that holds, whether that trend continues where he sits out the second half of maybe a back-to-back, we'll see. But because of some of the injuries, probably not. So, and some of the, and his contributions, you know, as long as he's, you know, I think the thing with Backes right now is, you know, that the feet have to be moving. You've got to keep the pace up. And if they start to see that dip and start to see where you're not being able to get there to engage in some of those battles, that, you know, then maybe he needs a rest. But Yeah, he referenced the conversation. Bruce Cassidy referenced the conversation. That, you know, they take a little time together and just kind of clear the air. And, you know, not that there was a rift between them, but I'm sure that Backus wanted to be more of a contributor than he was.
And, well, as you mentioned earlier, you know, that line.
Sometimes that's all you need is a little reset button with, you know, a little face-to-face, especially right. A guy that deserves and gets as much respect as he does.
But as you mentioned earlier, that line was, on a regular basis, getting less minutes than what would be considered the fourth line on this team.
Because you didn't trust it.
Well, exactly.
You had Frederick there for a while.
The production hasn't been there at all.
No, but he plays second power play, and he's played there all year. And when Bergeron was hurt, you know, he played the top power play. So, you know, he's gotten offensive looks, even though he might not be playing 5-on-5 on an offensive kind of minded line. So. And that's gone back and forth. That's gone up and down with who, you know, where, how many different guys have played center on that line this year between Cave, Forsbacker Carlson, Frederick, Corrali, Nordstrom. I mean, there's been so many different guys on that line this year. So, you know, now they've settled in on Coyle, at least, you know, based on the way that these, you know, the games have gone since the trade happened. So, for him, like I said, it's about getting there. It's about being able to get into some of those battles and then continuing to win those battles once you're there. Yes, he stood up for his teammate, and against in the fight with Ernie, it was standing up for himself.
Right.
You know, he got kind of cross-checked into the post by Ernie as he was going to the net looking for a rebound, and he got up and he initiated that. So, you know, as far as Haley goes, I gave him all the credit. I mean, there were other people that I talked to, you know, gave him a ton of credit for that because that kind of put out a little fire there, you know, with San Jose. You know, he was looking to go with somebody. Mm-hmm. All right, it's going to be me, you know, and instead of going after somebody else, it'll be me. And in the case with Ferland, same way. You know, he stood up for Johansson, even though, yeah, it was a clean hit.
And look, that's, you know, again, if you're trying to be, if as you said, if he's a respected guy in that room, he's at the point in his career where a lot of guys would say, that's not going to be me. Right, I'm not going to be the one who has to do that. That's typically not, you know, at his.
Well, there's not a lot of guys that can fit that either. I mean,
yeah.
So, I don't want to see him fighting every night. I certainly don't. If the occasion calls for it, you know, I give him all the respect in the world for standing up and doing it because it's not an easy job.
No, John, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mr. Beers, you commented on the team defense. I agree with you 100% that this team is playing great team defense, but I also think that the goaltending, Rask, most of the times, is letting up soft goals. It's still at this time of year, which I think in the playoffs could do you in, because the timing of the soft goals seems to be at the wrong time. Every time the Bruins seem to get momentum, they seem to come back and give up like a weak goal. I don't know if it's just me, because I thought those three Florida goals the other night were very, very savable. Guys, thanks for taking my call. Have a good day.
I appreciate the call.
Well, I don't think he had any chance on the tip-in. That was the first goal.
Yep.
That was Barkov on the tip. It's redirected right at the top of the crease. I mean, whether it might hit you, it might not. I mean,
yeah, and that one didn't hit you. You don't have a lot of control on that.
No. Huberto picked one out of the air that was borderline high stick.
Yep.
Do you have any idea where that puck's going when you pick it out of the air?
No, you don't. Yeah, my shoulder height, you're whacking it out of the air.
So two crazy goals, and then the Huberto one, I think, surprised him. You know, that one, and you could tell by his reaction, he was upset with that one.
That's a hell of a play, though.
It's a great play.
Yeah.
It's a great play, but it looked like he was a little frustrated to allow that one at that time.
Yeah.
You know, because the Bruins had just tied the game. I think it was 2-2 at the time, right? Yeah, so I saw easy or kind of weak goals going in on him earlier in the season. I don't see nearly as many going in now. I think he's really tightened that area up, actually. There were times during the season earlier where, yeah, that goal, wrong time, first period, weak goal. How does that go in? You know, and now you're chasing the game, right? You're behind early. Right. And I don't see that happening nearly as much over the last month and a half or so. And the same goes for Halak, by the way, who started the season great, and then the middle of the season, or, you know, partway through the year, you know, he was having some of those goals sneak past him or through him, you know, under the glove, in between the arm and the body. You know, those goals that just find the hole to get there and at the wrong times. Now he's tightened up his game. Both of them are on unbelievable streaks right now.
I was just going to say,
unreal streak.
We're getting complaint about a goal, about a goaltender that hasn't lost a game in regulation since Christmas.
Right. So, but he's been on streaks like this before, and I think to the point, to the caller's point, against the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round. How are you going to play that? That's when they, you know, that's when it really has to be good. And I'm curious too, you know, Ryan, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't come to this, but last year, you know, they were sticking with Rask no matter what. You know, he was the number one guy. You know, if things don't go well, hopefully, I'm like I said, hopefully it's not the point, but it's, you've got to look at different scenarios. You know, how much of a rope does he give him because he knows he's got Halak sitting there?
Sure.
Who can catch fire?
Sure.
I mean, Rask going to be your number one guy, but. You know, but the playoffs, I think a lot of people point to the playoffs and say, okay, what does he have when the playoffs start? I didn't think he was great against Toronto last year. I thought he had good moments, but I didn't think he was great against Toronto. I thought he was real good against Tampa.
There was a spot in that series, it seems to me, where if you had Hudobin or if you had Halak instead of Hudobin, you might have
maybe
made
that's,
a switch.
That's
there.
What I mean. I think that they'd be more willing to do it now than maybe they were last year.
By the way, yeah, Tuukka Rask since Christmas, 18 decisions, is 15-0-3 with a .931 save percentage. He's averaging two goals a game against.
And that's a big part of your team defense. It really is. I mean, you know, you can talk and preach team defense all you want, but if a goaltender's not making the saves he should make, and maybe some of the ones that he shouldn't make, you know, some of the great ones, then, you know, your team defense suffers. And I haven't checked it today, but they were number two in the league in team defense behind the Islanders.
Speaking of that rotation, by the way, I think it's telling that Bruce Cassidy, even as, again, they're trying to make sure they get home ice in the first round of the playoffs and all of that, was asked about their goalie rotation earlier this week. He said, you know, we probably 10 for Tuukka, 7 for Halak in the final 17, maybe 9-8. You know, we'll see how it shakes out, but you know, it's going to continue to be what you've seen for most of the year, which is that they're going to, you know, alternate these guys and you know, Tuukka will get slightly more, but not a lot down the stretch here. Keep him as fresh as possible and keep Halak in the game as well, because you never know. Let's get Sports Hub headlines. Billy Jaffe will join us to go around the NHL coming up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. Ryan Johnston, Bob Beers here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Joined now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline by Nesson's Billy Jaffe, who joins us each week to go around the NHL. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning, RJ. Hello, Bobby. How you guys doing?
Morning. How are the Junior Eagles this morning?
Let's move on to the next question.
Oh. Sorry, yeah, Coach.
Not so good. But you know, the game coming up a few hours, never know. Never know. So all good, having fun here in beautiful North Smithfield, Rhode Island.
Well, let's talk about some teams that are, you know, we've been talking a lot this morning about the Bruins and their streak. There's some other teams around the league that are streaking in different ways. Do we start with the positives or the negatives? How about the Columbus Blue Jackets, who were one of the most, probably the most active team at the trade deadline on the positive side of things as far as adding players, and yet here they are sitting outside the wild card right now? What's going on in Columbus?
Well, you know, they were outside the wild card when they made these moves, too. You know, let's not forget that, but they were only about a point or maybe two out, and there's still a couple of points out now. But since that deadline, they've won two games, both of them in extra time, one over Philly and then one over Jersey. They got crushed at home by Edmonton last week, 4-0 at home. And you want to talk about laying an egg, and then The next day, Winnipeg comes in and throttles them too at home. They back-to-back home games on the weekend. What's going on is that, you know, Duchesne is not scoring. I believe, if remember memory's correct, one goal, two assists in that time, but only, and he had one. I think he had one goal in his first game or one assist in his first game. So he's 1 or 2 points in his last like six games or so. And Dzingel hasn't gotten going, and these other guys, and now Bobrovsky was a scratch the other night completely
against Pittsburgh.
I know. Well, part of the thing is, I think they brought in Keith Kincaid is because Kincaid's numbers against Pittsburgh were really good, but yet they make Kincaid the backup.
They didn't play him, yeah.
Corpusalo. So I can't figure out what's going on there. I think they
play him again tonight.
I know. I mean, this what a mega game this is for them. I mean, have they announced their start yet? I haven't seen if it's Bobrovsky back at home or not, but they have no rhythm. They have no groove, and they're Seth Jones played really well the other day, fellas, but otherwise, Werenski and him, this dynamic duo on the back, and have not been nearly as good as they normally are.
No, they don't play him tonight. I made a mistake. I thought they play. I thought it was home and home.
Now, Columbus, Pittsburgh again tonight. Yeah,
it is. Okay.
Yep. Bobrovsky projected starter, but no official word on that yet as far as that goes. Another team that's hit the skids a little bit, and I mean, they're still in first place, but by a point right now, is the Calgary Flames have lost four in a row. What's going on in Calgary, and as San Jose is breathing down their neck at the top of the Pacific Division?
They sure are, and we talked about Calgary last week as a team that really interested me, except the one question we had, right, was the goaltending of Riddick or Smith, and neither have stepped up and really played well. I mean, Riddick played the other night. They lose to Arizona 2-0. They got crushed by the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs came in there about three games ago and beat them. I think it was 6-2, and I remember watching that game at one point. It was like 3 or 4-0, and Maple Leafs came out flying, and Calgary just was watching. Their scoring has dried up top there. They've tried to reimagine the lines a little bit, but Johnny Gaudreau isn't scoring as much. You know, they move Lindholm around the lines, and they're just not scoring. And so when you're not scoring and then you're getting goaltending that is questionable, it leads to a bit of a conundrum right now. But they're, as you mentioned, they're still in first place. They're coming off of a 7-game winning streak. So then they get to the deadline. They really don't do anything. They did try for Wayne Simmonds. They did try for Mark Stone. They didn't get that. But now they're like, well, I don't know if they're in the lull or if they're just saying, you know, they took a proverbial exhale and said, okay, well, we're all right. Now all of a sudden they've lost four in a row. They've got a huge game coming up against Vegas. That is a huge game, and Vegas is a team that is playing well.
Yeah, the team that finishes second in that division has to face Vegas in the first round. You finish first in the division, it looks like you play Minnesota. And, you know, there's no easy matchup, but I don't think you want to play Vegas in that first round with Mark Stone and the way that they have shown some, you know, what they did last year and what they've got the ability to do, and now the addition of Stone.
Yeah, you're right. And Stone only has a couple of points, Bobby, but he's been playing well with them. He's killing penalties for them. He's doing his role, and you know he's going to start scoring.
Well, it also frees up Carlson's line.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, all of a sudden, you know, who do you match up against? Who do you put your top defense pair against Stastny and Stone's line, or do you, and Pacioretty, or do you go against Carlson? And all of a sudden, so if you try to shut down one, you're going to have the line that was on fire last year, you know. So that's a matchup nightmare for them. All of a sudden, Alex Tuch's playing third line with Cody Eakin.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty good.
They get their depth going. Their D is, you know, Shea Theodore had a monster game the other night. He started playing a little bit better. And Fleury, remember he went through a little hiccup a few weeks ago, and Subban played a little more. It seems like he's getting into a little better groove. They've won five in a row right now.
He's played a lot this year, though.
He has played a ton, there's no doubt. And I don't know if they have to force him to play much, but I think, you know, they had a few days off. They're playing at Vancouver. Then they go at Calgary. They're on a bit of a road trip right now, Bobby. So I don't think he'll play every game, but Fleury seems to have gotten a little bit of rest there. But the fact that their team is deeper, stronger, and now they seem settled. And, you know, Mark Stone, even though he's got this massive new contract, and he's a huge name that moved at the deadline, they say that he's sitting there beautifully just because of his work ethic and his normal demeanor.
Another team that's headed in the positive direction, the Washington Capitals, defending champs, have won six in a row. They're up at the top of the Metropolitan Division. We kind of wondered at times during the course of this season and talking to you, Billy, about, you know, what's going on with Washington? Are they just kind of coasting in the year after the cup? Is the hangover kicking in? They're starting to find it here as the playoffs approach, and that should be a little scary in the Eastern Conference, I think.
You're absolutely right, and I'm not trying to poo-poo it, but they've had a favorable schedule lately. They've had the Rangers, they've had Ottawa, the Rangers, Philly, and the Devils. They had an Islander game sandwiched in the middle of that, right smack dab in the middle of this winning streak, and they did beat the Islanders 3-1. It was a good game. Watch that. But, you know, they've had some, by no means easy, but as Bobby said, you respect everybody. But they played the Devils last night. They beat them 3-0. The Devils worked hard, but, you know, the Caps stuck to their game. They played well. Holtby's playing well. They're getting that depth performance. I mean, Hagelin's killing penalties. You know, he's helped, just like Stone, albeit, I'm not saying anywhere near the level of player as Stone. He's given them that depth on the team, I think, up front, and a little bit more speed. It's allowed them to, again, massage the lines, especially the bottom six more. The Nick Jensen addition, I think I liked him. They obviously really liked him. They gave him a 4-year, $10 million contract immediately. That's a bottom pair contract. But
he's Kempney from last year.
Exactly. And that's what they say. They've helped stabilize him on that third pair. And, I mean, this is a team I still think that they're going to put up big numbers this year, in the sense of I think they're going to be a team to be reckoned with, fellas, because they got a ton of depth. Ovechkin isn't slowing down at all, and Tom Wilson is only getting better. If he can just keep his head, I guess, if he can just be smart enough and not get himself in trouble, he's only getting better, and he's a force out there too.
Billy Jaffe of Nesson joining us with the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. League held its general manager's meeting this week. This is always what's that?
A lot of golf and probably fishing. I don't know how much meeting they actually
and
get.
And occasionally they discuss what's going on in the game and rule changes and things like that. Not a lot of groundbreaking stuff this time, but some interesting potential tweaks, I think, to the rules, including this idea of choosing where to take the faceoff after a penalty. So you'd get to choose the side of the ice in the offensive zone where you wanted to take the penalty, which strategically, depending on who your center is and, you know, where you want to line guys up, could actually be a significant advantage right off the drop of the puck.
Yes, and it's only for the first faceoff right after the penalty. That's the way I read it. So I don't think I'm wrong on it. It's just after the first time. I don't think it's every ensuing offensive zone faceoff. But so still, I guess it does bring that element of, if you've got a guy who is a Patrice Bergeron, a Ryan O'Reilly, take your pick of guys, who is better in that certain side, strong side, and you can set it up, therefore you have a better chance. You know, maybe it's just a 5% better chance of winning, but still it's 5% better chance that it could be an advantage and help, and, you know, it makes the power play worth that much more. I guess I can see them. I can absolutely see them trying it, and seeing how it goes. To me, it wouldn't surprise me. It's kind of, I think of it as like almost like one of those plays where they talk about face-offs, where, you know, which stick has to come down first. It says to me that it's another little thing. They're just trying to massage it a little bit more towards offense, and so I could see that one coming through.
Yeah, it's because they were talking about the fact that goal scoring is up this year, and you know they're happy with the way that the game and comeback wins are up this year, and so they're happy with that. But a little tweak to make the power play even more effective, it may not be the worst thing in the world.
And here's the thing: scoring is up in particular at even strength, so that's what they're really thrilled about. So if they can just find a little bit more out of the PP, then they'll try and do it. No question.
One other thing that came up this week was a rule that I guess they have in international hockey. If you lose your helmet, you have to come off the ice right away. You won't be able to stay out there and play with the old school look. Is that one of those things that they're going to have to go to the Players Association for?
Yes. Yeah, they're going to have a partnership on that. I believe, Bob, I don't know if you know this, I believe it's already in the American League. They're already playing that.
I think so.
Yeah, your helmet comes off. You got to go off right away. We had a situation the other night in the game that we did against Carolina, where on the power play, Nino Niederreiter lost his helmet, albeit with a little help from a man by the name of Zdeno Chara, and he kept playing because he's allowed to, and he was in on the power play. In the new rule, if it comes to fruition, he would have had to have not played the puck, or if it has on his stick, move it immediately and head off immediately. Otherwise, it's whistled, a penalty. And therefore, I this one is interesting. I absolutely get the premise behind it, but it would impact certain situations. Again, we had one the other night that was very interesting, we talked about intermission that he would not have been able to play. He would have had to get rid of the puck and get off the ice right away.
See, if you're concerned about safety, I would institute a rule, tighten up your chin straps.
Well, I mean, that's part of it.
How many guys have their chin strap hanging, you know, a few inches below their chin where it's not helping you a whole lot there? If you take a shot to the head, that thing's going to be popping off.
I agree with you about that. I do think we're seeing less and less of that. You know, a couple of years ago, there were a few players that wore it, you know, like way down, way too loose. I think as we continue to get more and more educated on the issues and the perils of head trauma, that more younger players coming up all seem to have it buckled tighter. So, but I agree with you, RJ. That should be, it should be something that they were at least highly suggest to be snug to the chin.
All right, Billy, we appreciate the time as always. Sorry to hear about the Junior Eagles this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
It's just one. Bad coaching. Hopefully the coach gets better this afternoon.
Fire the coach.
Yeah. Oh, my God, absolutely. He's been fired probably.
Get him some sugar in between games.
There you go.
Bobby, I was thinking espresso. I was going right past sugar. I was thinking, like, oh, this for heavy-duty caffeine. That's not wrong for 8-9-year-olds, is it?
Nothing wrong with that. Might stunt their growth a little bit, but that's no big deal.
Yeah, but they could win. Isn't that what matters? See you guys. Take care.
Take care. Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is where we found Billy Jaffe there. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Bob and Judd will have the call tonight over at the Garden, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff here on the Sports Hub. Is the Bruins take on the Ottawa Senators. And then tomorrow night in Pittsburgh is the, as you said, a lot of road games coming up in very short order. Going to be
10 on the road and 4 at home after tonight.
Wow. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Stick around for Gasper and Murray coming up next.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Chuck Sarai, and Bob Bierce. The home of the Bees. A5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.